Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the breath of life that You breathe into us in this day. We thank You for the day that You have laid before us, and You have made all the preparations for us in this day. We exalt Your name, Lord. You are high and lifted up in the earth and in us. You are high and lifted up. I thank You for this broadcast this day. I thank You for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks yoke. We yield ourselves to this yoke-breaking Spirit of God. Just clear out those things that do not belong. We yield ourselves to your Spirit, O God. Lord Jesus, fill us more this day. Fill us more with your character, with your wisdom, with your patience, with your mercy, with your grace. Have your way in this hour. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 This is your host, Pat Randall, and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. Amen. So we have been on this new series, Waiting on God, and today is part three of Waiting on God. And I shared in the very first episode that God spoke to me in 2013 about the significance of waiting on him. He basically said to me that it would be one of the last great lessons that I would need to learn is how to wait on him. So since 2013, amen, I have been on this journey of specifically focusing on what he spoke to me about, this great lesson of waiting on God and just what that meant. And as I began this journey, the Lord just started to send different, he would lead me to different messages, to different books to read by Christian authors. Some of them are current authors and some of them are from the 1800s. People like Andrew Murray and I can't even think of his name now. The Asian, I don't know. I can't even think of his name. So I'm going to just move on. Oh, Watchman Nee. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Watchman Nee. Amen. Yes. And he has a book that Christ is the Sum of All Things. And I would encourage you to read that book. It will open up the eyes of your understanding. It really will. And that book has blessed me. But as I said, so in this journey, God has been sending me all of these messages through preachers, teachers, and prophets, and through books. And I just feel like I'm just cracking open something that should be a lifestyle for me. Waiting on God, not just for me, waiting on God should be a lifestyle for all of us. We're so used to being in control. We're so used to taking this first step and then, oh, God, by the way, could you bless this endeavor? And waiting on God is really stepping back and taking a back seat and allowing God to have full control over your life. And if you will remember from the scriptures, it says you have been purchased with a price. It's a high price. Christ gave his life. Amen. So that we would be redeemed to the Lord. And the whole idea is that we would walk in this oneness with our Lord and with our Father and with the Holy Spirit, and that we would no longer be acting independently and outside of him, but we would be living and moving and having our being in him. And one of the things that we will struggle against, and it will be an ongoing struggle, is selfishness. And selfishness shows up. It has so many different forms and faces that it will appear in your life. And it is only by being really connected with the Holy Spirit that you can identify these things. Because some of these things are subtle, because, you know, the enemy, his deceptions are subtle. And some of the seeds that he has sown are very subtle, and we may not easily identify them as being selfish. But the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, will reveal all things unto us. He is perfecting us. Remember, Jesus said the work that he began, that he would perfectly complete it. He would complete this work that he began in us. And so we are learning how to submit and how to surrender and how to let go. Amen. This is all part of waiting on God. Waiting on God as a lifestyle. I mean, it means that we are eagerly looking for and hoping in and having all of our expectations in him. It means that we are staying where he is, and we refuse to move outside of him or move without him. It means that we are waiting patiently for a particular time or a particular season, because we have matured to the point that we understand that it all comes to pass in the fullness of time. So whatever you are expecting will come to pass in the fullness of time. Wait on God. Let God do what only he can do in your life and with the circumstances surrounding your life. Waiting on God means also that you have developed a capacity to accept delay. That is always a difficult thing for us. A difficult thing for me is accepting delay. But as I grow in this waiting on God process, it gives me a place of rest. Usually it's hard to deal with delay. If you're impatient, you don't want to wait. You don't want to wait when you're impatient. But when you mature to that place of trusting God, you can accept the delay. You can also accept the trouble or the suffering that we deal with. He already told us that we were going to go through trials and tribulations, but to be of good cheer, to be of good courage, and that we can deal with these things without getting angry and without being upset, because we're waiting on God. Because we know that he is working everything out for our good. Hallelujah. Also, it means that you understand that God's wisdom is the highest wisdom. In the book of James, it tells us in that first chapter that if we're lacking wisdom, and not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom, that we only need to ask and expect to receive. Expect to receive. And God, don't put a timeline on God revealing something to you. Because if he was to reveal it before you were ready to receive it, it would be wasteful. And our God is not wasteful. Every word that he sends, it surely will accomplish the purpose for which it has been sent. He's not going to give you something that you're not ready to handle. He's not going to give you something that you are unable to digest. Amen. Praise God. Also, waiting on God as a lifestyle means that you resist judging by appearance only. Judging your circumstances by appearance. Judging people by appearance. Amen. But you wait on God to reveal the truth. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He will reveal the truth. So avoid those snap judgments. You see something and you automatically think, oh, I know what this is. This is this or this is that. Wait on God. Ask Him. Ask Him. You may think you know what you're seeing, but ask God, what is this that I'm seeing? Or what is this that you want me to see in this person or in this circumstance? Ask God. Let that become a practice. That you don't start off thinking that you know everything, but you start off seeking God. You know, I heard a great message at the church that I attended last Sunday. In fact, I just started recently attending this particular church. God has led me to this new community of believers, amen, in this particular season in my life. And he's sharing on the life of David. And one of the things he was saying that before David went into battle, he would inquire of the Lord. He didn't just assume. Let's go to the story of at Ziklag, when David and his men had been gone on one of their exploits and had come back and found that all of the people were gone, that all of their things, their possessions and their cattle and stuff had been taken by the Philistines. And the people were in great sorrow because they come back and their wives are gone, their children are going, their other family members, you know, grandma's gone, granddad is gone. I mean, just everything. They took everything. And so for these men, when they came back, I'm sure they were tired. When they came back, they were tired. They're thinking that they're coming back to the home that they left, only to find out that it's devastated. And their first reaction is to go into this place of distraught. They're grieving about this loss. But in the midst of all of this, because the men even turned, the people even turned on David, because David was their leader, as if it was all to his fault. And David had to encourage himself in the Lord, and he turned to the Lord, seeking his guidance and his wisdom, asking if he should pursue these enemies. If he should pursue them. And God said, yes, pursue them. How often when you are faced with a major problem in your life, do you stop and ask God, should I do this or should I do that? Lord, what should I do in this moment? That's waiting on God. I mean, to the natural mind, it would be so easily to come to the conclusion that, no, I'm going after these people and I'm going to get back all that they stole from me. But in that moment, despite all that was going on around him, David decided to resist going with his own understanding. Right? The scripture tells us in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in this moment of great trial, David chose to not lean to his own understanding, and he sought the Lord on this matter. And this last one, waiting on God, becoming a lifestyle, means that you are always aware. This is very important, that you are always aware of his perfect love for you. And you refuse to accept the spirit of an orphan. The spirit of an orphan is insecure, doubting, always questioning, always feels like the victim. But when we are aware of God's perfect love for us, we can rest in that and have a confidence and an expectation that he is working everything out for our good. And so we patiently wait for him to do what only he can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Psalm 27, starting in verse 13. We're going to read verses 13 and 14, and I'm going to read maybe a couple of variations from different Bible versions. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. This is King James. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Amplified says, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And in the Message Bible, it says, I like this in the Message Bible because it's like a declaration. I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Verse 14 in the King James says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Amplified says it like this. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Expect the Lord. Oh, I love that. Expect the Lord. Expect him to show up. Hallelujah. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. The Message Bible says this. Stay with God. Simple. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. I love that. I'm going to read that one again. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. All those that wait on the Lord will never be put to shame. Hallelujah. 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 Let's go to James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Hallelujah. This is part of our maturing process. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Stay in the process. Let God process you into this place where you are entire and wanting nothing. That was King James. English Standard Version says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Steadfastness. Being able to stand in the midst of the trial and patiently wait on the Lord with confidence, with full confidence. The Amplified says, consider it nothing but joy. Now, we're not saying that trouble or trials is joy, but we're saying count it joy when you're faced with these trials, because you have something to look forward to. There's an outcome. And you can joyfully expect God's outcome in the midst of this. Before I grabbed hold of this, my joy would come at the end of the trial. I would see God's faithfulness. I would see his deliverance. But I didn't understand or recognize that I had the ability to have joy even before I got to the outcome. Before I got to the "this too shall pass." The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where your joy is. Your joy is in the Lord. That's where it's found. Be where he is. If you stay where he is, abide, stay, remain with him, endure. That patience have its perfect work. Okay, let me continue. 3, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. Inner peace. What can come against peace? P peace I leave you, says Jesus, not as the world gives. The peace that the world gives is, it ebbs and it flows. It comes and it goes. But the peace that Jesus gives is eternal. It's an eternal peace. And you can live in this place of peace. And you recognize how precious this peace is. And when something comes that tries to threaten your peace, or tries to deceive you into giving up your peace, don't do it. Let there be a voice in your head that says, don't do it. Don't give up your peace. Don't give it up. It's invaluable. There's no price that you can put on the peace of God. No price. Hallelujah. 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 And then verse 4 in the Amplified says, and let endurance have its perfect work. Endurance. Endurance. It produces endurance. Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. Not lacking in some things, but lacking in nothing. Fully developed, completely developed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to take a moment right here and just speak a short prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this wisdom that you are releasing right now into the airways. I thank you for all the listeners, that they have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking in this moment. Lord, I thank you that in their hearts, they will open up and receive this perfect love that you are pouring out right now as I speak. This perfect love that drives out all fear. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Drives out the fear. And they can patiently wait for you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Last week, I talked about one of the things that God had purged me of during this process of waiting on Him, learning how to really wait on Him. And one of those things was, because I did a whole list of things that and it wasn't all of the things. The list would probably be quite long, but I think I listed about 7 or 8 things that I shared that God was purging out of my life. Amen. Because, you know, He's divine. We're the branches. He purges us. Amen. As we abide in Him, He's purging away those dead things, those things that aren't fruit bearing. Amen. In our lives. Praise God. So last week, I focused on what others think. God purging me of what others think. You know, that's a freedom. And when I say what others think, I don't mean that you don't take counsel from anyone, or you don't. Because, you know, if you're connected with the Spirit of the Lord, if you're keeping your connections daily with Him, The Spirit of the Lord will reveal to you what is for you and what is not for you. So you can rest in that because you're in a relationship. So you're not confused about the counsel that you receive, because sometimes you can get different counsel from different people depending on where they are in their walk. But the kind of what others think is this, just this thought life that is actually just ungodly, and it's worldly based, and it's logical, it's very mental, and it's, you know, it's all the stuff that comes out of the world, out of the mind of that mind of man, out of the spirit of that of the flesh. Amen. So the first part of what others think is what they think about me, what others think. So if I'm concerned about someone thinking less of me or even thinking more of me than they should, then I have to, in my mind, remind myself who I am as a child of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is that position that I now have as a joint heir with Christ Jesus? As a full son of God. And so if people are saying things that do not line up with that, don't receive it. Do not receive it. Do not receive it. Also, what other people think about others. We can be so influenced by that. It can be a bad report about someone, or it could be a good report, or it could be the idolization, which we do a lot of. Unfortunately, you know, in the world, you expect that. They idolize people. But we find that also in the church. Idolization. Idolizing people. Putting them up on these pedestals. And then when they disappoint, we lose faith and we lose trust in God. That's because your faith and your trust was misplaced. People change, people fall, people lose sight, people get distracted. So you have to follow God. You have to know God for yourself. So no matter what people are doing, you never lose sight of God. You've got that kind of a single focus. And then also purging me about what other people think about God, what they believe about God. I need to know who God is myself. I need to have encounters with him, encounters with his spirit, encounters with his word. I need to know his ways. I need to know the heart of God. Jesus clearly said that when he was asked to show me the Father, and he said, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So you can look at the life of Jesus, how he moved when he was in the earth. He came and he demonstrated for us so that we would know what our Father was like. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So today what I want to look at is the purge of unbelief. You know, some things are easily identified as unbelief, right? But then there are some attitudes and some thought patterns that we have picked up before we came into the body of Christ, before salvation. And depending on how many years you went without being saved, will tell you that over that span of time, Lord knows there was some programming being done by the prince of the air, the prince of this world. He wants you to believe all manner of lies, all manner of lies, untruths. That's the only power that he really has over a believer. It's deception. Deception. When he came into the garden, he didn't come in to try and kill Adam and Eve. He came in to deceive them, to strip them of their power. Because he realized once he did that, that they would become their own worst enemy. And man has been destroying each other since. But praise be for our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, who came, gave his life so that we might be free, free from the law of sin and death. No longer prisoners of sin. Hallelujah. 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 So this purging of unbelief, even though our hearts can deceive us sometimes, we may not be out of touch, but we can rest because the Holy Spirit will reveal. At the perfect time, the time when you are ready to receive it into your heart, what he is speaking. He will reveal that lie and replace it with a truth that you will be ready to receive because you will have matured into a place where you can see things spiritually. And you can see a spiritual lie and know the difference between the spiritual lie and the spiritual truth. David said, "Search my heart, O Lord, try me. And if there be any wicked way in me," he needed the Spirit of God to search his heart. And that's what we still need that. We still need the Spirit of God to search our hearts, to try us, so that we know what our true motivation is. I want to go to this story in Matthew 6. This is Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. He sends the disciples across on a boat without him. And then he comes to them walking on the water. Okay, so now the disciples are on the boat. And they've just witnessed this major miracle, okay? Major miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just a few fish and loaves of bread. I'm going to start in verse 51B to verse 52. So Jesus is walking on the water toward them, and they see him. They were completely overwhelmed. That's what the scripture says. I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, they were completely overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And verse 52 gives us why they were overwhelmed. Because they had not understood the miracle of the loaves, how it revealed the power and deity of Jesus. But in fact, their heart was hardening, being oblivious and indifferent to his amazing word. Being indifferent to his amazing work. They didn't consider what they had just seen. They didn't spend time thinking, like chewing on what they had just seen Jesus do. It's not like they've seen it done before. And as a result of that, when they saw him walking on the water, they were completely overwhelmed. They had forgotten just that quickly. Well, he had just finished feeding. So that is an impossibility, what he just did. So now he's doing another impossibility, which is walking across the water. Well, okay, that would line up because he's demonstrated his power and his deity. We need to dwell on God's majesty. Just when you think about all that he's created, I mean, this whole world, this universe, these planets, I mean, just on the planet Earth alone, how everything is interrelated in all these different systems and the intelligence of these systems in the earth, the trees and in the seas and I mean, all of this migration and it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. The intelligence that flows through creation. It's amazing. And an amazing God created it. And there's still so much about this earth that we don't even fully comprehend or understand. We are still discovering things. So if we're still discovering things about the earth, you know we're still discovering things about God. Meditate and ponder in your heart the majesty of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. So we wait on God in faith. Believing, hoping in those things that are unseen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time. This time of just hearing your voice, reflecting on what you've already spoken in our lives, and looking at where you're leading and guiding us in this particular season. There are many lies in the atmosphere, but we refuse them all. We are not of this kingdom. We are of the kingdom of God, where justice prevails, truth prevails, love prevails, peace, abiding peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, for it's coming alongside our helper, our comforter, revealing to us the things of the kingdom, revealing to us what's in your heart and what's in your mind. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name this day. You alone are worthy, Jesus. You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory, Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for joining me during this hour of Declaring the Finished Work. Again, this is your host, Pat Rando. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you on the air, sharing the goodness of the Lord. I mean, his goodness is mind-boggling. It is more than we can even understand or comprehend, his goodness. That's how good he is. And no matter how good you think he is, he's going to always be better than that. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow night is Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose, and that's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Sunday, we have Bread of Life again with Pastor Ray Rose at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. Well, God bless you. Move with the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. And I will be with you next week, God willing. We will see how far we're going to go with this waiting on God, this very, very important process. It's a lifelong process as we wait for his return. Glory to God. As we wait for our glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Amen. So be blessed. Love you.
I'll say yes when you wake me early in the morning. Say yes to your